Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Ravens getting ready for the Washington Commanders. They get back at practice today. John Harbaugh's going to meet with the media. Select players. Lamar Jackson usually meets on Wednesday and other stars as well, so stay tuned for that. But let's look back a little bit at the Cincinnati win in overtime, 41-38. Ravens had to come from behind to get that one done. We'll start with the defense. When you give up 38 points and a ton of yards, opposing quarterback throws for five TDs. Yep. It wasn't an ideal performance, was it?
No. Let's talk about the positives first. And watching the film yesterday and this morning, Justin Madubuike, I feel bad for him because he played awesome. And he was in the backfield all day. But, you know, Burrow gets rid of the ball so quick. And he was taking 65 and walking him back all day long. And Madubuike had a hell of a game. And then he got the sack there at the end of the game. And I tell you what, it was a great design by Zach Orr. We'll give Zach a little credit on that because he had Ajabo lined up inside over the tackle and he had Madubuike on the outside. And then basically it was a tackle twist. So Madubuike blocked the guy out and then Madubuike came back underneath and came up free. So it was a good design of the stunt, and it was a good execution by them. And Bob, also, I thought that, you know, I kind of got on Ajabo a little bit. He did have a couple nice rushes in there, and he did play well against the run. The problem was they were hitting the quarterback, but the ball was already gone. That was the problem. And Ngakoue, he had two nice plays, Bob, but, I mean, he spun move. One from the right, one from the left, and he hits the quarterback, and the ball's gone. So, I mean, they did get some pressure, but Burrow was awesome in that game. So, give them some credit, too. So, and then against the run stuff, I thought the defense played well. And Roquan thought he did a nice job in there in the run stuff. Now, the secondary, that to me was the issues, and we got to knock out all the it seems like the communication problems start when they shift and move. Then there's like pointing. Hey, you do. You know, and then like down in the end zone, the one time when Higgins catches the short touchdown pass, he comes across, moves sides, and then you see Jackson and Williams, you. And then he runs a slant route and nobody covered him. You know, that crap's got to stop. And they had some missed tackles in there, which if they're catching the ball, you got to make the tackles. They were catching a lot of the contested type catches. And let me just say, the corners, they were in position. I mean, one time, Wiggins is right on top of Chase. But you know what? Chase a hell of a player. And the throws, Bob, were like perfect throws, which was, you know, it's pretty amazing watching. But, yeah, the secondary's got to get better. Let's talk about Marcus Williams a little bit. Marcus Williams, to me, watching him, it's like he's, I don't know that he's confused. It just looks like he's disinterested because he's not playing. He's not playing physical. He's not playing fast. He's not playing violent. He's just playing. He's just out there. I showed you one clip with Eddie Jackson and Williams. They're both deep. And the ball comes towards Marcus Williams' side, and Eddie Jackson comes in flying in there, throwing his body around, making a play, and Jackson just kind of, okay. And then on the touchdown, the 70-yard touchdown, he kind of nonchalants and overruns it. His angles are poor. His tackling is poor. Just his physicality. It's kind of disappointing watching. So I don't know what's going on with him, if he's confused or what. But he plays deep. And then I went back and watched last year's film, the Kansas City game, the championship game. And he was playing with one arm, and he was playing fast and physical and throwing his body around. And I don't know what the deal is. He's healthy, but he's not. They're almost playing with 10 dudes out there. That's kind of the way it looks. But the communication stuff's got to get fixed. And, you know, in practice, they got to do a lot of shifting and moving and doing all those things. Because in this game, what they're getting ready to play, and Harb's talked about it in the Buffalo game, you got to plaster those receivers, you know. And because the deep pass to McLaren that he caught for the nice touchdown that was all over the highlight reels and everything, that was a scramble play. And you just got to stick with your guys. And that's the thing. I mean, the secondary is going to be the biggest part of winning the game Sunday. And for the Ravens to take it to the next level, for them to get their defense better, I think the pass rush guys will be fine with the addition of Ngakoue, and I think they'll be fine. The defensive front, they're studs. Roquan's playing better, you know, up front. But the secondary's got to get their act together. That's the biggest thing. I mean, if they want to get to where they want to get to, you can't be 30th in the league in pass defense, number one against the rush. And right now, and that's what we're talking, they're, the people that are playing bad, they're last. People that are playing good, they're first against the rush. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing right now, what I see with the secondary. I mean, it's not like, well, the one time Wiggins, you know, he gets beat deep, you know, because his eyes are in the backfield and lets him run by him. I mean, they have inconsistencies in the secondary, and you can't. And like this game here, you can't turn people loose. Buffalo game, Bob, what was the only way they scored? Turned a guy loose.
Yep.
Same type thing. They got to be disciplined. The upfront dudes, they're disciplined as hell. The back end, no. Totally undisciplined.
How would you assess the play of Trenton Simpson through five games?
Like in space, I think he does a pretty good job. You know, like the first two plays of the third quarter, I thought he did a real nice job reading. I mean, he can read and stuff, Bob, but what's happening to him is he's getting locked on. The linemen are getting on him, and he can't get off. He cannot get off the linemen, and that's why what's he getting, like four tackles a game? They're getting up on him, and he can't get off blocks. Whereas, you know, you watch Roquan, he knows how to kind of sliver and slide and get through those holes and make the tackles. Simpson's not there yet.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll break down the Ravens' offense. Vinny will, film study style. Later on in the show, around 12 o'clock-ish, so stay tuned for that. We'll come back, whip around, talk about what happened in the world of sports last night and historically in Baltimore sports history. It is October the 9th. And then AFC North, we're going to Cleveland with Ken Carman. from 92.3 The Fan. We're going to Pittsburgh, Will Graves, Associated Press. And then we're going to Cincinnati with Richard Skinner. So we got you covered. And then a fun house trip with Mr. Electricity, Nolan McGraw, coming up around 11.45 here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Biddy and Hades with brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Time for the whip around. Hey, NFL news. We got NFL lunch coming up later in the show. But Nico Collins, Houston Texans wide receiver, standout receiver of that. IR hammy. Going to miss at least the next 4 weeks.
And wasn't he the leader? Leading receiver in the league?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, step up to the party here.
And they have the ability to do that.
Drake May's going to start for the New England Patriots.
It's about, week six? Kind of what we figured.
Era begins. So, that thing begins, as Vinny said, for Drake May. But, you know, they're not expected to do well, New England. He'll take his lumps. But if you look at the other rookie quarterbacks, Daniels, who we've talked about, we've been kind of chapsticking his rear end last couple of days. Bo Nix has won three in a row in Denver. Caleb Williams is starting to get on a heater in Chicago. So, you know, how patient will Patriots fans, or most importantly, the Patriots, be with Drake May and all of that immense skill that he brings to the equation?
Well, I think they just want to see, like, some type of production. They want to see hope, Bob, is what they want to see. Does he give us hope? Because the three that you just mentioned, all their franchises, yeah, they definitely give them hope. But Drake May has got the worst pile of crap of all the quarterbacks.
Yeah, and they are 7-point dogs at home against Houston. So he's going up against a team that, even though they lost Nico Collins for the foreseeable future, is considered one of the best in the AFC, if not the National Football League overall.
Yeah, and they just played a Miami team that, you know, didn't have a quarterback, you know, Huntley, and they were, one of the worst offenses and lost 15-10 at home.
Yeah, I told you, I had the three TVs working at the Haney compound, and I just red zoned it. Every time I'd glance at that, I started to doze off a little bit. Yeah. So I had to avert my gaze from the Dolphins-Patriots game. But anyway, Drake May, he's going to get the call there. We'll do the schedule for the NFL, by the way, in totality later in the show. NHL last night. The Blues beat the Kraken 3-2. Defending Stanley Cup champ Florida, the Panthers over the Bruins 6-4. They were actually kind of puffy pants in them early. It was 4-1.
Yeah, and they got their they put the banner up and everything for their Stanley Cup. Their rings are nice looking too.
So Florida Panthers begin defense of the Stanley Cup with a win over the Bruins, who are a formidable team, no doubt about it. And how about the Utah Hockey Club? Yes, that's the name, non-hockey fans. Formerly the Phoenix/Arizona Coyotes.
Yep.
They are now the Utah Hockey Club, but hey, they win their opener 5-2 over the Blackhawks.
Yeah, and the thing about it is they had young talent in Arizona, and now they've got a stable situation. They're not playing at Arizona State University with 3,000 max fans. Now they're in a, you know, professional rink and everything. They probably feel like they're at home. I mean, the players probably weren't crazy about it. I mean, Bob, you live in Phoenix, Arizona, then you got to move to Salt Lake. It's a little bit different there. But, hey, congratulations to Utah getting their first win. Chicago's going to keep stinking, I think.
Yeah, what's up with Connor Bedard, this young number one? Yeah. Is he a transcendent guy? I mean, what's he, 19 years old? You know what I mean? Still young.
19 or 20. Yeah. Is he good enough to carry the doesn't look like he's like McDavid or Crosby kind of thing.
Or an Ovi or somebody like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, where he takes the organization and, you know, makes them 10, 12 games better.
Caps begin their 2024-25 season Saturday, hosting New Jersey, who's already won two games. And if you blink, you missed them. Yeah. I don't even know until you told me yesterday.
Well, it was in Prague, the games were. But the thing about for the Caps, Bob, I mean, you know, Caps haven't played a regular season game. They played some preseason game, but they haven't played a regular season game. Whereas Jersey's played two regular season games. So could be a little advantage Devils early in that game.
And the Capitals are still one of the older teams in the NHL, right?
Yes, they are. I saw their roster. Yes, yeah, their youngest guy's 24. So they don't have any. And they've got a lot of guys in there that the age starts with a 3.
Yeah, and Ovi's chasing Gretzky.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing for this season. And they feel like they're going to be better this year because they have some influx of some younger guy, younger than 30 type guys. So we'll see. We'll see what it is. I mean, it's still Carlson on the defensive side, and it's still Ovi up front. And, you know, it's like Ovi's one-timers, and when Ovi goes away, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the interest.
It's 5-7, the Fan, whip around here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. NBA preseason is hot and heavy, and I won't start doing the scores with the local kids until we get into the regular season. But Jalen Smith's in Chicago now with the Bulls. Bruno's in Toronto with the Raptors, Bruno Fernando. Wiggins is still in Oklahoma City. I expect Cam Whitmore to level up big time for the Rockets. But once those things start counting for real, we'll start giving some score updates for sure. On this date, in sports history, and we're going to keep it local. 1977, Memorial Stadium. Colts taking on the Miami Dolphins. 45-28, Baltimore over Miami. Burt Jones, four touchdown passes. Two to Shake and Bake Glenn Dowdy. That Shake and Bake Family Fun Center, he founded that. Glenn Dowdy.
Oh, cool.
Went to Michigan. Ooh. He was a Wolverine. So two to Shake and Bake. One to Ray Chester, Morgan State. One to Don McCauley, North Carolina. Our boy Lairdo had a pick, so did Stan White. As the Colts improved to 4-0, 45-28 over the Dolphins. And yes, that was a rivalry back in the 70s because they were in the same division, competing for the same thing. It's what makes a rivalry. How about 1966? This is glorious. Memorial Stadium. Frank Robinson, solo homer off Don Drysdale in the fourth inning. And then Dave McNally's four-hit shutout made it hold up. As the Orioles beat the Dodgers, who were heavily favored, one zip, win the World Championship at four straight. Dodgers scored two runs the entire series.
Woo!
As the Orioles win their first ever World Championship. Now, it's been a bazillion years since they won the last one, but on this day, let's see, now I'm just 58 years ago, the Baltimore Orioles, behind Frank Robinson and great pitching, they win the World Championship over the L.A. Dodgers. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan, we have time for a call. You make the call. No, he says. We'll come back. We got the AFC North coming your way. We're going to Cleveland first with Ken Carmen. Then we're going to Pittsburgh with Will Graves. And then we got Richard Skinner talking about those Bengals. Yeah, I'm sure it's still stinging what happened Sunday at home. But still, they have to proceed and to improvise, adapt, and overcome.
Bengals.
Chase to the end zone. Tossed down. Miles Garrett gets home.
Steelers.
Pressure ball out. Picked up. Walk. Touchdown Steelers.
Ravens.
Lamar winding up. Going deep for Bateman. He's got it.
The toughest division in football. Notes from the North. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time to tackle the AFC North. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Ravens. They have the Commanders coming up on Sunday. Remember the old original Gilligan's Island theme? It was "And the Rest." Right now it's Pittsburgh, Baltimore, "And the Rest." And here to talk about it, Bob Haney and Vinny Serrato. We'll start in Cleveland from 92.3 The Fan. Let's welcome back Ken Carmen. Ken, good morning. Thanks for joining us as always. Cleveland down in, Landover gets it handed to him by the Washington Commanders. And on the disappointment level, how's that resonating with Browns fans right now?
10 out of 10. They looked listless in this first half. The quarterback looked terrible. They couldn't get a play in. They messed up a fourth down when the game was even out of hand. A perfect 10 out of 10 in terms of disappointment.
Hey, Ken, you read a lot of stuff that Stefanski really doesn't have any control of who's playing and stuff. Is that true? I'm guessing that he probably liked to bench Watson right now.
Well, I think a lot of people would. And I think he knows the responsibility. It's weird. I think he does have some power, but at the same time, I can't sit there and guarantee you that it was his decision that Alex Van Pelt be fired at the end of last year, again, a playoff season, that their offense looked good in, and they let go of the offensive coordinator. So I feel he did not have that decision or want to make that decision, and then they put him with Ken Dorsey, and Ken has the best of intentions, but I don't think they're some of the best of ideas. And it's been a mess. And I think that a lot of people go, well, this isn't working. Why wouldn't they bench him? I do think he understands the responsibility that Deshaun's not going to be a backup quarterback. If he benches him, this is it. And I don't think that he's going to stand out there and be booed and jeered by the home crowd while he's standing on the sidelines while Jameis Winston goes out there, who's already seemingly a more popular figure than Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. So I think he understands that responsibility, but I think he finds himself again in the 2021 scenario of, are you a football team trying to win football games, or are we trying to figure out if the quarterback can be salvaged? They did that with Baker. They gambled wrong, obviously, and I think they're doing that with Deshaun Watson here.
Now, what is the culture like in a locker room?
It's still upbeat, actually. I'm on my way in there in about an hour. It's still an upbeat locker room. I've been there when it's been like a morgue. I've been in there when it's been very tense. This one's still a bit upbeat. They get along with each other like they got along with each other last year. So the culture was good last year. The defense, which hasn't been as good as it was last year, they are a very braggadocious, very fun-loving group. But they also know that, boy, they need to get a win just to, I don't know if it's to save their season, but to salvage a good name. I mean, at 1-4 and in this division, and people say, well, they've only lost to NFC teams. I don't think that inspires a lot of confidence going into the AFC either. So I don't know if I buy that. But, yeah, the locker room is still rather upbeat considering everything that's going on.
Okay, Carmen, 92.3, the Fan in Cleveland. Anthony Lima doing it every morning. Last thing before you can. Every team that plays the Browns seems to be like the 85 Bears when it comes to getting to the quarterback. Watson's been sacked 26 times. How does that get rectified, if at all, this season?
As soon as he stops seeing ghosts, but he's had time in the past, and he gets freaked out back there, and he bails, and he'll run himself into sacks. So even when he does have time, the offensive line hasn't been as good as it was over the last 5-6 years, but even when he does have time, the previous snaps affect him later in the game, and he will not get rid of the football.
Okay, Carmen, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.
You too.
There's Ken Carmen, everybody. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Talk about the Steelers lost 2 in a row. From the Associated Press, let's welcome back to the show Will Graves. Will, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Russell Wilson could be up this week for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Already, are we in look-over-the-shoulder time for Justin Fields?
I mean, you know, Justin says he's not. I asked him point blank last Thursday if he was. He said no, but then he went out and he certainly looked a little more jittery against the Cowboys than he had, you know, in his first handful of games. It's hard not to think that when every week feels like a tryout, at some point it's got to wear on you, right? That being said, it looks like they're going to stick with him this week. There's a chance that Russell Wilson could be elevated to the number two quarterback. He's in the emergency the first 5 games. But I really, it does sort of feel like this is the make or break week for Fields. If he plays well and kind of shakes off the accuracy issues he had against the Cowboys and they get back in the win column, I think he's probably on firmer ground than if he isn't.
What about the offensive line, Will?
What about it? I mean, like, they got a bunch of injuries. I mean, they lost James Daniels, their right guard for the year. You know, their first-round pick, Troy Fertitta, was out for the year. And then in their place, you know, Zach Frazier, you know, with a second-round pick at center, he was going to start anyway. But then, you know, you've got Mason McCormick, who's a fourth rounder. Not a lot of fourth rounders thrust into, you know, live action in their first in the first month of their professional careers, right? Then you got Spencer Anderson, a Maryland guy who has, you know, acquitted himself quite well for a seventh round pick, but still there's a talent deficiency issue, I think. So, you know, it's not been great. I mean, they haven't been bad in the blocking wise. I mean, in pass blocking, but the running game, which is what they want to, you know, mm-hmm. brand themselves on, just is not going anywhere. And they've got injuries there, too. I mean, Najee Harris is healthy, but, you know, his two backups, Cordarrelle Patterson, who's seemingly ageless at 33 and was the most effective back they'd had through the first month of the season, is out again this week for a second straight game. And Jaylen Warren, who is sort of the yin to Najee Harris's yang, he's going to miss another game with a knee injury. And I think that one is troublesome to me. Like, that one seems like it might be an extended period. So they're beat up, and they're beat up on defense, too. I mean, my goodness, you know, especially the outside linebacker. Alex Highsmith's out again with a groin injury. Nick Herbig, who they love, a second-year guy out of Wisconsin, who was sort of like a JV version of T.J. Watt. He's out with a hamstring injury that looks significant. DeMarvin Leal, a guy that they had used as sort of a hybrid defensive end outside, you know, edge rush guy, he's out because he caught a stinger last week. It is going to be they're susceptible. And then the problem is, look, you know, they got by those first 3 weeks. The defense looked like the best in the league. The Colts gashed them. The Cowboys gashed them. And, you know, I think that is that of all the things that we've seen the first, you know, month of the season, that those last two performances by the defense is probably the most alarming, because this team is built to win by running the ball and playing defense. And right now they're not doing either one particularly well.
How's Patrick Queen adjusting?
You know, it's weird. You know, I think the, you know, being labeled as the signing the most lucrative free agent contract in the history of the franchise is a weight that sort of he has to carry. He's been fine, You know, he's been fine, but he hasn't been maybe – I notice him sideline to sideline. I do notice that. But, you know, he hasn't really been an impact player in terms of making plays that make a difference in a game. He's sort of doing his job, to be very clear, but he's sort of not doing anything above and beyond. And I think that's kind of what – they're going to need something from him in the coming weeks. I mean, like you saw, like last week, you know, his tag team partner – Landon Roberts had that great hit at the goal line where it forced the fumble, and the only reason the Cowboys managed to win the game is because Dak Prescott fell on it. So Patrick has yet to have a play like that, and I think we're getting to the time of the season where, look, you got your sea legs, you've been in the system for a few months, you should know where you're going, and you should get there maybe sometimes before the ball does.
Will Graves covers the Steelers for the Associated Press. Will, last thing for you, out to Vegas, taking on the Raiders. Could be Gardner Minshew, who only plays well, it seems, against the Ravens in Baltimore. But if they lose Pittsburgh this game, what's the DEFCON level after the fact?
I think it's starting to rise because, you know, all year it looked like those last six, seven games where we got all the division games and the Chiefs and the Eagles. It was sort of like we got to try to stack wins early when we can. This looked like one of them on the schedule when it came out in May. If they don't get it, I think the DEFCON level goes up. And shout out to Kevin George and all the Eastern Star Democrat alums who are listening to this thing. That's where I got my career started. I'm from Waldorf, Maryland. He sent me a DM after I was on last time, so I appreciate it, Kevin. Thinking about you, and, you know, hey, go Commanders. Not going to lie.
Hey, wait a minute with all that. All right, Will Graves, have a great Wednesday. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
There's Will Graves. Everybody covers the Steelers for the AP. Now let's go to Cincinnati as he covers the Cincinnati Bengals for WKRC Live 12. He's Richard Skinner coming back to the show. Richard, appreciate the time as always. And let's get to the overtime. Ravens silver platter, it seemed to win to the Bengals. And after Burrow had diced up that Ravens secondary like he was playing catch in the park, got real conservative, relying on a field goal. Yeah, there was a bad snap, but in the locker room after the game, were they lamenting the passive play calling instead of just going right for the jugular there?
Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins sure were. Joe Burrow, I think, played it like Switzerland down the middle. He said he checked out of a pass play into a run. There's a part of me that understands Zach Taylor's reasoning behind it. I think he got spooked by the interception, the great play Marlon Humphrey made. I think he got spooked by the sack on the last drive, the first play of the last drive of regulation, and he wanted to ensure no negative plays were going to knock them further back. But, I mean, Evan McPherson's a great kicker. Justin Tucker's a great kicker. But nothing's automatic. I mean, it's just not. You think it is. You'd like to hope it is, but it's not. And so that was the surprising part, that you were literally willing to settle for a 53-yard field goal attempt. And Evans made those. He's made them in clutch situations. But, yeah, the explanation is understandable. But, really, when Joe Burrow was cooking like that, you let him keep cooking.
Hey, Richard, I tell you what, after watching that film and stuff, the receivers and the quarterback, they were outstanding. You know, I mean, the Burrow made some great throws. I think the Bengals are going to be okay. You know, if the defense just gets some stops, I think they're going to win a bunch of games yet.
Yeah, and I think that's the point that a lot of people checked out, I think, on them at the moment, and you get it 1-4. But the three best offenses in the NFL statistically and just passing the eyeball test are Baltimore, Washington, and the Bengals. Well, the Bengals don't play the Bengals, and they've already played Washington, and they play Baltimore one more time. You know, they play a stretch of games against some teams that are a little more spotty on offense. And to your point, they're starting to get a couple of guys back on defense. They got a couple back on Sunday. Probably will get them in more expansive roles. They'll get Mike Hilton, the slot cornerback, this week. This defense doesn't have to be number 5 in the NFL. It just needs to be about number 18 in the NFL. It's not close to that at the moment, but it doesn't have to be great. It just has to be good enough, to your point.
I thought their defensive game plan was pretty good. The problem was Lamar made great plays and the receivers made phenomenal plays. I mean, because they went in to stop the run. They did. They did.
Yeah,
other than that 41-yarder at the end of the game. But the Bengals quarterback and receivers made great plays, so did the Ravens.
Yeah, no question. And that just did. I mean, the play Lamar makes is otherworldly. He stiff-armed Sam Hubbard twice. He then is falling out of bounds with Jermaine Pratt about to hit him right in the mouth. Throws it back across the middle late, which, of course, you're not supposed to do, right? And he does it right on the money for a touchdown. I mean, that's a one-of-one play. And as much as, you know, you can say Sam Hubbard should have got him to the ground, he didn't. And Lamar does that to not just Sam Hubbard. He does that to a lot of people in this league. And that play was just otherworldly.
Richard Skinner, must win at the Giants coming up Sunday night.
Yeah, and they need a win badly. You know, it's a Giants team that's run the ball pretty effectively this past week. That's been a bugaboo with the Bengals. But to your point, two of the last three games they've played against Washington and then against Baltimore, other than the Derrick Henry run, they've actually done a nice job against the run. You know, this offense is cooking. I don't know anybody that keeps them under 30 points. And if they can get to 30 points, you shouldn't lose in this league. They've lost twice in the last three games getting to 30 points. But I think you get to 30 points against the Giants, they can't put up that kind of number.
Richard Skinner covers the Bengals for WKRC 12 in Cincinnati. Richard, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Take care.
There's Richard Skinner. Frustrated in Cincinnati like the Bengals are. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Got news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Counts of money, hopefully, midweek style, 12:15, buy or sell. Talk about the baseball playoffs with Jim Hunter. How about that Manny Machado? Jim covered the entirety of Manny's career in Baltimore, and is he impressed or maybe put off by his antics here? In a couple of days, got news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Buy or sell, where's the dough? We'll count it, hopefully, at 12:15. Jim Hunter. Going to talk some baseball playoffs. Longtime voice of the Orioles. He was there when Manny Machado got called up 12 years ago. Now Manny, I guess he's taking on the old villain hat and seems to be loving every minute up. Yeah. But let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, thanks for holding. What's up?
Good morning, fellas. How are you? It's almost afternoon, though, right?
Yes, it is,
technically,
Joe.
It's still good morning, though.
I only called in because I was listening to Vincenzo. Talking about, is his name Marcus Williams?
Yes.
And how he's not playing like he did last year with one arm.
Yep.
And how he's looking uninspired. I've looked at every scenario why he's not, and I can't come up with an answer. Now, what do you do with a player like that? Because Benny, if you see it, and all the other people who probably watching the game, like, why isn't he doing this and doing that? I mean, the coaches see it. Do they sit him? And of course they talk to him, but what actually, you know, is he trying to make a business decision? You know, some answers need to be, you know, somebody need to get some answers. Or I just want to ask you a question. How would you go about it, Benny? Like, if you see him out there looking lackadaisical, do you sit him down? I mean, you'd have paid him, so it ain't like
he's
got
getting
any
paid well.
Huh?
He's getting paid well.
That's what I'm saying. So it ain't like he got gambling debt that he owe a bookie or something. I mean, I'm not sure that somebody got his family hostage or something. So what is his reason for not being out there playing the way he did when he first got here? How do you find out, Benny? That's all I want to know, and I'll let you go. You tell me, Benny. Tell me how you do it.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Well, the coach, well, they'll have a one-on-one with him. I'm sure they've already talked to him. You know, I don't know if he's got some off-the-field something going on or, you know, who knows. But when you come to the field, it's your job, and you gotta perform your job. And if he can't, and if he's not playing well enough and it's week after week, then you gotta put somebody else in there. You gotta pull him, you know, bench him for a little bit and see if that gets his attention. Otherwise, you know, you can't have him just playing like he's playing right now.
But when you were at training camp, he didn't look like a guy that
good.
Was under-motivated. You know what I mean?
No, he looked good because Kyle was out, remember, with the elbow surgery
right.
or whatever. And so he was getting all the reps, and he was taking control of it out there and everything. And then I don't – because what I saw at training camp and what I see on film right now, two different things.
And Joe mentioned business decision. If he plays like this, the Ravens are going to make a business decision after the season.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. If he's playing like this, he'll be gone.
He's third year into this deal here.
Yeah, and what do you get, like $17 million or something? He was awesome in New Orleans.
So and he was good when healthy mm-hmm. for the Ravens, but we talk about underachievers, and we're not ready to hand out grades. We'll wait till midseason. But he'd have to be a leading candidate for that dubious award so far this year.
Yes, totally, totally. And Bob, you know the sign they have, play like a Raven? He's not playing like a Raven right now.
He's playing like a guy that's getting smoked by the opponent. But let's bring in a guy, he's not an underachiever, he's not an overachiever, he's an achiever. He's living up to the hype. He's like the old term, is he overrated or underrated? He's appropriately rated. He's Nolan McGraw. What's up, Quick Draw?
Doing good here. Looking at Marcus Williams' contract, of course, the cap hit went up quite a bit from last year to this year, 18.7. million. That's the cap hit next year as well, and then goes all the way up to 20.7 by 2026. But like you talked about, if this continues this year, would the Ravens be looking to move on? There is that out after this season. A good bit of cap savings can come to them if they were to release him or trade him.
I would imagine that, you know, Kyle Hamilton's contract's coming up and all that. I would say that he is a likely candidate. Marlon Humphrey's a likely candidate. So, you know, the secondary is underachieving right now, period.
Yeah, as a unit,
yes,
they've been
totally
somewhat disappointing. But we've got a business decision for our listeners, right, Nolan McGraw here?
That we do. It's Wednesday. It's my favorite day of the week because we get to give away a $25 Wise Markets gift card. So if you are caller number 6 right now at 410-583-1057, again, looking for caller number 6, the $25 Wise Markets gift card can be yours.
It's 5880-1057. The Fan will come back. News from the Nest. Hear more from John Harbaugh as he met with the media a couple of days ago talking about his team and this matchup with Washington. John Harbaugh going to meet with the media about an hour and a half. Well, 2 hours, I guess. Whatever it is they're back on the practice field getting ready for that game. Buy or sell. Let's count the midweek money. And then Jim Hunter talking about the baseball playoffs as they're into the... There's 4 games today. It's loaded of the America's pastime. A couple of series could come to an end. We'll talk to Jim about that. And then we look at the film breakdown of the Ravens' offense. They put up 41 points. Quarterback might be the offensive player of the week. So everything was great, right?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.